Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
You are listening to the Arsenal Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with Gunners Tan, the Gunners Tan sole representative tonight, but it is the A-team, the best man himself. It is Chris Howard, Sherlock Holmes. I am the Watson to his Sherlock Holmes. It is how I kicked off this Arsenal Fan Show, so I'm glad me and Chris are back at it tonight. And there are still many of mysteries, many riddles for us to solve in the next 60 minutes. But on a sadder note, Chris, the first ever Arsenal Fan Show I've done, like I alluded to there, Arsenal playing once again. It was me and you. It was a Monday night game. It was away, like tonight. It was Sheffield United. We lost.
Yeah.
Hoping for a different result tonight, but we're going to get into that, I'm sure. And the team news has just come out, but we were talking all about that full Bournemouth preview and obviously talking about that brilliant, epic clash at Stamford Bridge as Arsenal came back to draw 2-2 with Chelsea. We'll do a little bit of transfer latest. Lots of rumours in the last few days. Will the Gunners make any additions before that January transfer window closes? And while we're doing the show, the FA Cup fifth round draw will be on live. We'll keep you abreast with all of what's going on there, because Arsenal will obviously have their name in the hat, hoping that it will be permanent with ink rather than pencil a little bit later when the game is over. But as always, you can join the show tonight. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. You can put a question to me, put a question to Chris. If it's a really good one, we'll answer it. If it's not, we might pretend it never happened. But Chris, obviously, let's quickly kick off with the team news then. Slight few changes. Martinez in goal, obviously expected. Bellerin plays again. Mustafi, Sokratis, Saka, Guendouzi, Xhaka, Pepe, Joe Willock. Lovely to see him on the team sheet. Martinelli, and obviously he has stayed. Eddie Nketiah is leading the line. Any surprises for you here, Chris?
I thought that we might see Rob Holding, if I'm honest with you, because he's not been... I mean, let's be honest, we all know, and I'm sure we'll get to talking about Mustafiing it last week as well, but
is that a term now? Just so I know,
Mustafiing.
Right, I'm on board. I'm with
Mustafiing.
It.
I'm sure Charlie, the other Charlie, will
he'll be a big fan of this.
Well.
Yeah, absolutely.
But Mustafiing it, and so I would have thought, well, his time is limited. Surely his time is limited, and so therefore we need to start looking at, well, what are the other long-term options. And if Rob Holding, as we have been led to believe, is a longer-term option at the club, then why not play Rob Holding tonight? I mean, it gets to a point where you start to think this can't be about fitness anymore, because he's not been... I mean, he played a little bit against Chelsea. He would have played a lot longer, but obviously Arteta decided to keep Martinelli on. What a great decision that was. But I personally would have liked to have seen Holding tonight instead of Mustafi. I think the Willock move is a good one, because again, I think we'll get to talking about Ozil as well, because I think his time is probably slowly coming, sort of drip, drip, drip... feeding towards the end of his time at the club. The Nketiah one, I think, is just Arteta's probably so impressed with him, and he's talked about that in his press conferences. He's been so impressed with him. I think he's like, well, if I'm not going to give you a chance now in the FA Cup, you know, I'm not going to wait until you get Shrewsbury Town in the next round, having, you know, Shrewsbury beaten Liverpool at Anfield. So
yeah, well, they absolutely could. Obviously, Jurgen Klopp saying his players have been told of a winter break, Chris, and when they've told of it, they've been looking forward to it. You know, so hard, a bit of the luxury of being a Premiership footballer, a professional footballer as well, shall I say, that they won't plan that game. It will be once again the under-23s who played against Aston Villa earlier in the season. They played so well. I think it was 5-0 to Aston Villa, so they're getting another run out this time against Shrewsbury. It's a conflict, actually. I know we are talking about Arsenal, but Shrewsbury have never played at Anfield in their history, and now they're playing under-23s. Really weird that they won't be playing against the first team, but we are keeping at Arsenal. We just mentioned the Arsenal team news there. Bournemouth team news. The team that are facing Arsenal tonight: Travers in goal, Smith, Cook, Nathan Aki, Simpson at the back, and the midfield is Harry Wilson, Lewis Cook, Sermon, Gosling, Fraser and Solanke up front. They've slightly changed their team as well. He's rotated. Obviously, they got that big win just before last week, just before the FA Cup, obviously. But the big one for them is, as it is with the teams down there, eyes on Premiership survival, Chris.
Yeah, I think so. And that makes sense, to be honest with you. And if we were, I don't know, 6 to 9 points better off, and Arteta has still rotated, so I think it probably doesn't really matter where we'd be in the league. He'd probably still have rotated the level that he's rotated, to be honest with you. So if you think about from the last game, yeah, Martinez in, Sogradis in, Guendouzi, Willock, Nketiah. So it's a spine that he's sort of rotated, but not too much. And I think it sounds like Eddie Jones has done the same as well. So, yeah, don't know.
Well, it's interesting, Chris, obviously, because I feel that in this game, he's actually... It's not as strong as the team he put out against Leeds. Would you say that's fair? I feel that, and everyone's like, oh, Arteta, you know, and I know that he is taking the cup seriously and he's really going for it, but I don't feel this is as strong as the team he played at home to Leeds. And that worries me because we are going on a winter break. We don't play now till Sunday against Burnley. Then after that, we've got one more game. Then the players do have a rest. I'm surprised maybe that a few more players, like you said, Holding isn't playing. I think the troubles with injuries are a lot worse. Not worse, but we don't know the full picture. I'm surprised Lacazette isn't leading the line, someone who's in desperate need of a goal, and a couple of others.
Well, the Lacazette one's interesting because imagine if Nketiah scores tonight. Everyone will be saying, well, Lacazette, all right, we can appreciate his hard work and his effort, and he's been a link-up player, but he's a centre-forward and we need centre-forwards to get goals. And if Eddie Nketiah scores tonight or has a good game, then there'll be question marks that will start to us. So maybe there's a little bit in there where Arteta's saying, your position isn't guaranteed, and if I've got another player in there that's doing well, because that's the Martinelli debate as well. So we all know Aubameyang's going to come back in, but who's he going to take out of the team? Is he going to take Pepe out? Or who plays then wide right? Because Martinelli's been playing wide left and he's done quite well. Perhaps he could rotate across, but Aubameyang's got to come back in. So for my mind, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world to see Martinelli and Pepe, see how they perform again tonight on the flanks, maybe with a view. We've got Burnley next weekend. Maybe there's a view to playing Aubameyang up top where he should actually be playing.
Yeah, it's a really interesting that perspective, because I'm looking at it from maybe this isn't the strongest lineup. It's not as strong as the one against Leeds. But, you know, this is classic Arteta saying, you know, laying down the gauntlet almost, you know, no, this is the strongest lineup. Lacazette's, you know, he's had his chance. I'm keeping with Eddie. Eddie gets his chance tonight, and this is it. Maybe a little bit of a message of sorts to Lacazette. They're very interesting. Well, we're going to give you a full and proper preview of the game, obviously, in a little bit. But I just want to go back, obviously, to last week, Chris. Now, obviously,
Before we do that, can we talk Ceballos for a minute?
Well, we can. I was going to do a big section on that later.
All right, but okay. You've got a whole section planned. Fair enough,
Chris. We've got an hour, me and you, mate. We've got an hour. None of that Dave and Charlie buttoning because they want their say. This is when the show is golden, mate. This is Radio Goldust, what we're producing right now. Plenty of time for me and you to have our say on Danny Ceballos a little bit later. And obviously Chris Howard, the man that pronounces every Arsenal name correctly, and he's a shining beacon for my broadcasting career. But let me tell you a quick story.
So my old boss, who I used to go to the football with, he had a real trouble with names, and he was terrible. He used to wind me up. Rosicky, Rosky.
That's a poor one.
Poborski.
Oh, I mean, makes me feel a lot better, though.
He did drop the standard Wenger as opposed to Wenger.
Yeah.
But yeah, he used to drive me absolutely nuts.
Well, I remember I'd done the first show with you, and I was never quite sure how to pronounce Sokratis.
Sogradis.
Yeah, so again, you've won up me even by doing that. But it's very close what I do. I copied you because I know you're the man in the know. And everyone always gives me a funny look because they just pick the easy way out. And I think, no, if that's how Chris Howard says it, believe you me, that is how I'm saying it. I fly with you to the very end, Chris. But we're talking about the classic clash, obviously, Stamford Bridge. Now, this started off very typical Arsenal. You know, we went down to 10 men. I think we'll talk about that in bigger dealings in just a second. It was all Chelsea. We're very under the cosh. I've got to be honest, Chris, I'm watching this and I thought, this is going to end very, very badly. This is one of those games we've seen it before, the 8-2s, the 6-1s. This is going to be a big hammer blow at the hands of one of our bitterest rivals.
Yeah, and we saw that, didn't we? We've seen that. If you count the last 10 years that we've gone to Chelsea, we've got a terrible record at Stamford Bridge. I mean, we've got a terrible record at Anfield, and we've got a terrible record
against Old Trafford, top six at the minute. Yeah,
but particularly Stamford Bridge, you know, we've seen some proper hammerings, like the 6-0 when we had a man sent off. But we do seem to either concede penalties or red cards there. And as soon as that went, and as soon as they got the penalty and then scored from it, I said to a mate of mine, Ben, at half time, I phoned him up and I said, I almost don't want to watch this because this could be an absolute car crash. But even after we conceded, Chelsea had a few moments, but they really rallied, didn't they, the team?
Yeah, really rallied. And that's the thing. And I think that if we're all being fairness as Arsenal fans, as Gunners fans, we were all feeling that in that same boat. I remember it was 30 minutes played. You know, Chelsea scored the penalty. We're down to 10 men. And it, not a sense of dread, a feeling of concern, but I thought, I almost don't want to watch. I can't watch, but I'm watching with one eye because we've seen how this story ends. We know the ending. We know the conclusion. And it's another painful 60 minutes of football. It's, you know, they've got a man on us. They're at home. They're going to be desperate for blood. You know, the fans are right up for it. And maybe, you know, this sort of says in more reality, Chris, where we are right now. But also, it was a big applaudit for us to see the way this team fought back with 10 men and the way they did get themselves back into it.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things there. I think the first thing is the reaction of the team, which we hadn't seen before. Because let's be honest, most of these types of games between the big teams, when one team goes a man down, the game is normally done. Normally, because these, you know, if it's a Liverpool or an Arsenal or a Man United or a Chelsea or a Tottenham against a Swansea or a West Ham or a Bournemouth or something like that at home,
we hope.
but normally those teams can put them to one side. Or if you're an away team and you've gone down to 10 men against that sort of side, then you think we stand a chance. But the bigger teams, those big games, those fine margins, normally result in victory for the home side, particularly if they're, you know, the away side's down to 10 men. So that was one thing that fascinated me. But I think the second thing that fascinated me is that we've had seven, this will be Arteta's eighth game, and it feels like every single game has... we've seen a different Arsenal. So like we saw an Arsenal that were relatively dominant against Bournemouth. You know, they couldn't quite take their chances, but there were positive signs. We saw an Arsenal team that absolutely went for Chelsea. I think they were the better team overall in the
100%.
Match. And
we
Chelsea,
saw that against Man United as well.
But we seem to... We were definitely, for two-thirds of the match, we were the better team. And then Chelsea inevitably came back into it. You know, mistakes, and we ended up losing that game. But, you know, we sort of ran out of puff. So that was a game in which we'd run out of puff and fitness levels. The Man United game was, we got that second goal, and then I felt we kept them at arm's length. So, again, that's a different type of game. Then we got the Leeds game, where we were poor in the first half, but then we picked it up in the second half and ended up getting the win. The Crystal Palace game, where we go down to 10 men, I thought we were a better team. Overall, you know, we had to try. We could have had a chance of winning it, but didn't quite do it. You know, every single game seems like a different sort of variation, a different narrative that seems to appear. And so that's why I'm fascinated tonight to see, well, what Arsenal are we going to get? Are we going to get the Arsenal dominating team? Are we going to get maybe we'll actually get an Arsenal team that takes its chances and get two or three goals? That'd be lovely. That's a game where we can win two or three goals for a chance.
Absolutely. We'd love a blistering 3-4-0. Just a dominating performance from the first minute to 90 minutes. But ultimately, it is about wins. It is being about having your name in the hat for the next round. We really want that. Just quickly on two massive moments. Let's not even talk about the sending off. Let's keep it positive. Two massive moments,
no,
obviously.
Let's.
Well, we're brief on time. But just before we actually look at that sending off, then, we have to talk about him. We're talking about him every week. But the goal from Martinelli, and obviously... all surprised that Bellerin started. Me, you and Charlie spoke at length last week. You know, is Bellerin maybe done? He's not coming back from fitness. It was a shock that he started. Certainly was for me. Obviously, comeback captain, getting a goal as well, 2-2. Just absolutely brilliant to see, wasn't it, Chris?
It was amazing. Yeah. And that Martinelli goal, like... a bit of fortune about it when Kante slipped. And actually, I think the Bellerin, there's a little bit of fortune about that one because... Kepa's a rubbish goalkeeper, let's be honest. I mean,
you're not sold on Kepa. I wouldn't say he's rubbish. He's not in the elite bracket yet.
He doesn't save shots that he probably should be saving. Like, in real time, as I watched that Bellerin, it's a really good composed finish, you know, bending it around. But it wasn't struck with any kind of pace. And you think any kind of half-decent Premier League goalkeeper should get a palm to that normally.
Oh, interesting. Now we're digging at Chelsea keepers as well. And we haven't even gotten to the Mustafi incident. We will talk about it. We're going to do a whole segment on Danny Ceballos. Don't worry about that. And looking towards the FA Cup fifth round draw and the January transfer window.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Arsenal Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with Chris Howard from Gunners Town. We were just talking, obviously, previewing the game tonight, Arsenal versus Bournemouth in the FA Cup fourth round, and looking back at that classic clash with Chelsea, 2-2 at the Bridge. We're going to stay on that for a moment, but we will throw, so it's the January transfer window, a few days left. Who will be joining the Gunners? Have your say. Who do you want to see in that red and white shirt? Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 028 7020 558. Bring them mind, there's not much money in the kitty, so don't be frying about those big heavyweight names, because let me tell you, and this isn't a spoiler, even though I'm with Sherlock Holmes, they're not coming, they're not joining, certainly not till the summer.
We have no money,
we can't even do double digits apparently for a Pablo Mari, who we will be coming to in just a short amount of time. But let's talk about the sending off very quickly, because it was a classic case. We call ourselves Sherlock Holmes and Watson, but it was a classic case of Mustafi and Luiz, even though maybe joining Luiz in that is a little bit unfair.
Yeah, I think he's absolutely shafted Luiz, hasn't he, Mustafi? Let's be honest with you. I mean, We've seen it lots of times. The thing that I just find baffling about David Luiz is, Shkodran Mustafi, is he can play for 89 minutes and look like a half-decent, competent defender. You know, he actually, after that blunder, made a few telling interceptions. He's nodded the ball away plenty of times. Loosely, he got the assist for Martinelli. But this is
That's very loosely. No one.
But this is the problem with the reason why that's not the pedigree of a top flight Premier League defender. They don't make those mistakes. Or if they make those mistakes, it's one in 15, 20 games. Mustafi makes it one in two at the least. And so for me, that's a championship type defender. And it does pain me to say that, because I did rate Mustafi at one time, but I just think he's probably done at the club and we probably need to start looking at moving on, which is why I'm surprised that, again, not going back to what we already talked about, but I'm surprised that Holding hasn't started, because he's clearly got more of a future at the club.
Well, we hope so. We just, like we earlier said, if you wasn't listening, we're worried about Holding, because, you know, in these type of games, especially tonight in the FA Cup, we would hope that we would see Holding. You know, he's struggled maybe more so than Bellerin to overcome this injury. We're seeing Bellerin now start again the second successive game. Worrying times for Holding, just taking him that little bit longer. We hope there's not a more of a problem going forward with that injury. The worrying thing, though, for me, Chris, when Arteta started and we listened to his press conferences, he said, you know, he wasn't not going to have this sentiment. If the players don't buy in, they're not playing. It's all about that, you know, and if they're not good enough to represent the high standard of this club, he knows Mustafi surely can't defend. He's watched the games now. He's been in around the training. Is it simply a case of, I don't want to say he's not seeing it, but he trusts him more than the fans do, or that we simply have no other option?
I think we don't have any other option. Although, having said that, when Granit Xhaka filled in central defence, I thought Granit Xhaka had a really good game against Chelsea. I thought he played really, really well. And the way in which that he's turned his fortunes around, I think we should give a little nod of the cap to Granit Xhaka, because fair play to the guy. He was very good, I thought, against Chelsea. He hasn't got a future longer term, so we need to start looking at other options. Simple as that.
It is a tricky one. Obviously, that's why Arsenal are looking towards signing, maybe, hopefully, potentially, a centre-half in this window, Pablo Mari.
Can we talk about Mesut Ozil?
Yeah, let's do it.
Particularly in reference to that Chelsea game, because it almost felt like he came off on 55 minutes. It almost felt like Arteta said, I won't bring you off at half time, but I'll give you 10 minutes. But Mesut Ozil, I know it's not his type. That's not his type of game. You know, we're down to 10 men away from home, but he should be the link player for us. And he started well against Arteta.
Under Arteta.
But we're not getting the outputs from him. I think that's the biggest problem. I think people can see the effort that he puts in, but the output level in terms of his end product is negligible, isn't it?
Yeah, but there's an interesting one with Ozil in the fact that, obviously, he was going to take off Martinelli in that Chelsea game. Mm. He said he thought he was starting to look a little bit tired. You know, he'd done the most sprints in that game. He obviously scored the goal and he sprinted. Then he was like, you know, I'm going to give him a chance. I'm going to keep him on. And I reckon that played a part in Ozil's substitution.
Yeah.
Because he had to bring someone off.
Yeah.
So and it was probably, well, and he admitted it much, it was going to be Martinelli, and then he has to change it somewhere. And in that game, you know, obviously covering distance and maybe tracking back when we are getting back into the fold is not Ozil's forte.
No, exactly. And that's why when the sending off happened, the first thing I thought actually was Mesut Ozil, because let's be honest, he's the sort of player that you'd say, right, well, what's going to happen now is that Chelsea are going to come at us. The best chance we've got is rapid counter-attack. And that's when you need players like, I mean, there's an argument to say, well, you know, Ozil transitioning the ball forward through finding space and then releasing it and finding a pass perhaps, but Martinelli is rapid, Pepe is rapid, you've got those two players, you've got Lacazette, who, you know, he's not the quickest in the world, but I just feel like Ozil feels like he should have been that sort of player that potentially could have come off before. I guess it got to 55 minutes, so ultimately he was the one that was sacrificed.
Yeah, it's a nice link though, because talking about players doing well under Arteta, obviously, you know, Ozil was looking like a player that at the start flourished. Xhaka's really come back into fold, is really impressed. We know Torreira, the benefit he's had playing in his natural position in front of the defence, and he's another one that's looked really good under Arteta. Someone who we've yet to see at the minute, you know, struggling with injury concerns. He's meant to be back to full fitness. We thought we'd see him tonight. I know you want to talk about him. Lots of rumours saying that he wants to cut his loan short, go back to Spain. Dani Ceballos. Really interesting, this one. Lots of clubs were in for him in the summer. Real Madrid did not want to lose him, but they allowed him to go on loan. Started his career at Arsenal, although albeit it was only a few games. Almost a fan's favourite instantly, you know. A bit of a passion merchant. Nothing wrong with that. Getting the crowd going, was on the end of a few good goals. Obviously got injured, you know, and Arteta, it was only last week, Chris, I watched an interview with Arteta and he said, I know all about Dani Ceballos. He's Spanish. I know all about him from the youngsters, watching him with Spain, the younger sides. Where I know where his best position is. I can't wait to get him fit. Then this comes out that he wants to go back to Spain, but he is still here. What are you making of this? And you even pointed out, and now we're not seeing him tonight.
Yeah, it's a weird one. I would have thought tonight would be a great opportunity, because he's done it with Nketiah. He said to Eddie Nketiah, right, it's the FA Cup. I'm going to do a bit of rotation, in you go. Now, whether or not he's thought, I can't do too many rotations, but I guess the question is, where's he going to put him? So, I'm looking at what I think the formation is tonight. I think it's going to be a 4-2-3-1. That's my guess, based on the players that are on the pitch. He's got Xhaka and Guendouzi, which to me, I'm not sure that works, because you don't have that Terrier-type player. But where does Ceballos fit into this team? Because he's not going to play where Willock's playing, because Arteta's already said he's not a number 10.
Yeah.
So he's got to take one of those two positions up. I think Guendouzi is naturally sort of just behind in the pecking order behind Torreira and Xhaka. Torreira's obviously the one that's rested tonight. And Xhaka's, you know, he's been transformed under Arteta. So I can kind of get why. I don't think that works. But then who would you bring out? Would you bring out Xhaka and play Ceballos? Or would you bring out Guendouzi and play Ceballos there? So you've got a Xhaka, Ceballos sort of duet.
Well, this is the problem. And he spoke about saying that, you know, good coaches, good managers fit their tactics, fit their system around the players that they have. Arteta's mentioned this. I don't know in that formation where he fits Ceballos in, but then does he change that for him? He's a player that I still really believe in, really like his potential. You don't play for Real Madrid and cap by Spain and do the things that he's done if you're not that good. I don't know quite what's wrong. And we all have this, all fans of every football club, this fickle nature. You know, as soon as we're not seeing him, he's not what he was anyway. He's not cracked up to be what we thought, and it hasn't worked out. Let's get him back. I still think there's a player in there, Chris. And ultimately, he's still very, very young. And I felt like, under Arteta, he's another one that we would see flourish. Yes, partly because they're both Spanish, they can both speak the language, you get it out of him. And seemingly, he was a fan's favourite. He was loved very, very quickly. And, you know, not all players can say that. It doesn't work for him. And if he would have stayed, and we see him for years on end, and he's a fixture in this team, you know, he almost creates his own Arsenal legend, doesn't he?
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's the type of player that he's a tricky player. He can beat a player because he's good with the ball at his feet. Do you know what I think is really interesting? Isn't it fascinating that as fans, if we sign a player, take Nicolas Pepe, for example. There's a lot of people saying about Nicolas Pepe, well, you know, he's going to take a while to bed in and we'll probably see the best of Nicolas Pepe next season. Mm. Well, if you're a loan signing, you don't get that. So we're essentially projecting instant need for success onto Ceballos. But because he's a player, because Pepe is a player that we, you know, in inverted commas, own, we seem to give him a little bit, or he seems to get a little bit more time, but we just don't have that with Ceballos. So I think there's something in that as well. And it's the same with, again, we'll talk about the Mari stuff and the transfer over there. But if it's a loan option, with loan with option to buy at the end, he has to, Mari has to effectively come in and be brilliant within about 4 months. Whereas, you know, sometimes it takes players different times
new
to
league,
adjust.
New culture.
Exactly.
And maybe we won't, why Mari won't get that is because he was at Man City, didn't play a game, but he is a little bit more familiar with England than some other
possibly.
Signings. It's very interesting about the loan signings. Arsenal don't have a great history in recent times with loan signings. Suarez last year.
Kallstrom. Remember old King Kallstrom?
Literally, you took the words out of my mouth. What? Signed and then we never saw them. But weird, so why make the signing all very, very strange, these loan, especially, and it is a cliche, but in this difficult winter window, Chris.
Yeah, I'm trying to think back to a loan signing that has actually ever been successful. And it's funny because, you know, when we were growing up, when we were kids, you know, when I was a kid, I seem to recall that loan signings were just teams that championship, there was just players that championship teams did. It's just, you know, they need to fill some space and there's plenty of good kids in that Arsenal youth team, so we'll have a few on loan. Nowadays the loan market is a completely different thing, and it's fascinating how teams don't want to take the financial hit on signing players. And maybe it's just because the fees are so astronomical for every player that the loan market is almost seen like a done thing. I mean, you've got Barcelona who've missing Luis Suarez and they're looking for some form of a loan deal.
But they don't want to pay the big transfer fees, but they do pay loan fees. They can afford the loan fees, and we're sometimes seeing two-year loan deals. It's absolutely
weird.
Incredible. Well, one player Arsenal did want to get in on loan, that was Pablo Mari. Seemingly a spanner in the works. It's not yet completed. We don't know why, but we're going to get to the bottom of it next.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Arsenal Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, and Chris Howard, a.k.a. Sherlock Holmes and Watson. And let me tell you, the Baker Street duo have... Not Jerry Rafferty, by the way, but the Baker Street duo of us on Love Sport Radio have been needed because there have been many riddles in the Arsenal team this season. One of them, Arteta is looking to obviously get to the bottom of, as what we're now seeing this second half of the season, maybe a long pre-season into next season when we're hoping it will be much better. Still time for you tonight, though, to have your say. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 70 20 558. I feel like I'm the teacher now and I'm talking to my student because Chris has just put his hand up like we're in school.
I've got
you,
a question
you can
for
come
you.
In, Chris.
I've got a question for you, mate.
Go on, mate.
When does a footballer become, and this is a Mari related one, when does a footballer become a journeyman?
Oh, that's an interesting one.
Is it an age thing or is it a number of teams thing?
That's,
you know,
a great question.
Because Mari has basically, he's been at Man City, loaned out about to about three or four different clubs.
Never got a game.
Not really played.
You called him a Man City reject earlier and that hurt me.
Did I?
Yeah, you did. And I got upset. I was a little bit upset.
Well, I do apologise.
Only because I don't want to sign a reject. But we do this now, don't we? Yeah. You know, it's really interesting. I want to go back to this journeyman thing. But in response to you, Chris, a question to you. Now, you know, everyone now, if you don't know a player, you've not seen much of him, we Google, don't we? Straight on YouTube, straight on social media. I mean, I don't have a wealth of knowledge when it comes to Pablo Mari, but I've watched a little bit of clips and I know he won the double, obviously, in the Brazilian League, Cup and League, and I saw his game against Liverpool in the Club World Cup. And then everyone on social media, he's got a higher FIFA rating than Virgil van Dijk. And, you know, it's all, and this literally was going viral on social media, but we've all drunk, you know, we've all got drunk on this and I'm going, he's absolutely fantastic. Get him in now. He's got a higher rating than Virgil van Dijk. I mean, what a signing this is. Edu has done it again. It's unbelievable. We've unearthed a Brazilian gem. If Guardiola signed him, I don't care if he's played any games. He must be a talent. Then the deal goes through and I go, he's a Man City reject. Never played anyway. Don't want to know about the man. Why do we do it?
You get whipped up. Transfers, you know, it's the transfers are the great unknown, aren't they? They're essentially...
Absolutely, we're thirsty for transfer news.
Exactly, but you project the success of your team based on the unknown, you know. And this was one of the challenges that we had towards the latter years of the Wenger reign, in that we kind of knew what we were going to get from an Arsene Wenger team. We knew what we were going to get from the transfers, and it was only towards the end when, you know, essentially they seemed to take away the transfer dealings. I mean, if you look at the Aubameyang thing, that seemed to be Sven Mislintat and then even Gazidis just heading off to Dortmund to go and bag themselves a world-class striker. And that didn't really seem to happen with with Wenger's say-so. So it feels to me like that's why people get so excited, because they project the success of their team onto an unknown quantity. And this guy's exactly the same. So until we physically see him in an Arsenal shirt, if we see him in an Arsenal shirt, until we get those first few games under his belt, we are just going to project that, oh, he's going to be a useful addition to the squad. You look at the number of games that he's played. He's 26 years old.
Brilliant age for signing. You know, peak is still ahead of him. His prime still ahead of him. Apparently, he's the game in which he impresses the most. He's a physical specimen, a real physical defender. But he's a brilliant passer of the ball, great distribution. You know, when you hear all this on Bleacher Report, I know other reports are available. You think, have they fanned this? And maybe the cynic in me, Chris, and I hope some Arsenal fans are similar in that way. I go, why isn't other teams available then? If this 26-year-old that, unbelievably, we've done it again, why none of the other teams working? Why didn't he get a game at City? Why couldn't he get past Otamendi and John Stones?
And it's not a... this isn't a 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 million pound deal, is it? This is a 9 million euro deal.
Very expensive, Chris, because we can't afford that.
But this loan with an option to buy, I really, really hope that it is Arsenal saying, no, we're going to do that, or we're not going to do anything. The fact that he's been spotted at Heathrow Airport and then he's gone back to Brazil. And my hope is that it's Arsenal saying, we're not going to get tied into this ridiculous, because this is what Barcelona wanted with Suarez, this ridiculous idea of a loan deal that then turns into a permanent transfer. It's obligatory, obligation to buy. Absolutely ridiculous. It's essentially a signing, but it's not making the payment until 6 months later. My view is that, like I say, I hope that this guy is a, let's test it out. Let's test the waters and see. Let's bring him in. Let's get a loan, pay the loan fee for him. If he's successful, then you pay your fee later on in the summer. But if we sign him in the summer, or if we are looking to get this sort of player in now with a view in the summer as well, what exactly does that do to future chances of signing a centre half? That's the only thing that gets me worried, because I look at the fact we've got Saliba coming in June. We've got Sogradis already. We've got Holding, we've got Luiz, we've got Chambers, we've got Mari, assuming, you know, if he was to come in. And that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 centre-halves. That's not going to work.
Well, unbelievably, I'm just going to interrupt you very quickly there, because the FA Cup round 5th draw has been taking place while we've been talking. And news into the studio now. Arsenal.
Away?
Away.
To?
Portsmouth.
Oh.
Who are unbeaten at home this year. Going very well under Kenny Jackett's side in League
One. Arsenal or Bournemouth.
Arsenal or Bournemouth. This is the Arsenal fan show. I can be a little bit bold in this one hour only. I have to be not so bold when I do the Bournemouth fan show later. But it is Portsmouth versus Bournemouth or Arsenal. An away tie, League One tie, obviously. No disrespect, but Arsenal, again, will see that as a brilliant chance to progress further if they can beat Bournemouth tonight. But Portsmouth, unbeaten at home this year, Chris. It's not the best tie, it's not the worst tie.
Yeah, I mean, that could be a lot worse, couldn't it? Let's be honest with you. The only thing I would say from a selfish point of view is I quite like going to the FA Cup away games. So I love an FA Cup away day. Portsmouth's not a big ground, though. So the chances of me getting a ticket, again, talking selfishly, are that much reduced. But yes, it will be interesting. I see that Chelsea play either Shrewsbury or Liverpool.
So we could have a Chelsea or Liverpool game. Although Shrewsbury would fancy their chances, because Liverpool, as we know, playing the kids, and Man United have been drawn to Derby. So we could see the return of Wayne Rooney, providing Derby get beat Northampton in the replay. But it is at Pride Park for Derby, so interesting one there. But Arsenal against Portsmouth, and the tie is at Fratton Park. Let's quickly go back to Pablo Mari. I know that Arsenal, you know, obviously you mentioned the Barcelona and the Suarez deal and the paying of the money. Chris, again, the cynic in me, if it is 9 million euros, 7 million pounds, whether it's now, whether it's in the summer, why don't we just pay it? Is that too much of a risk? If it doesn't work, it doesn't work out, is 9 million pounds, in the grand scheme of things, where we are as a club and the standards we set, a massive, massive... We're not paying 40 million and go, we can't get rid of him now like Mustafi. It's 9 million quid.
But wouldn't you rather, if you had the choice of you get this guy in now or go for something else big, like an Upper Meccano or another big name player that we've kind of very tentatively been linked with in the summer, would you not rather just say, well, this season's done for anyway, let's just, you know, muddle through with Holding? You know, Chambers is out until September. I wonder if that's the end of Chambers's career, because if Saliba comes in, very good. Do you know what? Because it's going to take him, if he's out for 9 months, we're talking September, if he then takes another month to fully get back up to speed. You're talking October. We could be getting into November time before Chambers is even getting a look in terms of a centre-half. You've still got Luiz. We're not going to offload him in the summer. You know, Mustafi you'd expect to go, but there's a lot of, you know, and if you bring in someone like Mari, there's a lot of bodies in the way. Where does Mari even fit in the pecking order?
Well, that's an interesting one, and it's hard to answer in terms of hindsight.
It doesn't sound like he's going to come in and in August, him and Saliba will be the...
Right, I'll tell you why I take Mari, and I'm not just saying it because we're here in this moment. There's no guarantee we sign that big name in the summer, so let's take Mari if we can get him now. And also, why I'm saying that is because we are getting Saliba in the summer, so... We can't completely reinvent that defence. Are we going to sign? How many are we going to sign? Because if we want to start Saliba, we're not sure what's happening with Holding. We've got Chambers, we've got Luiz, we've got Sokratis, we've got Mustafi, and then maybe Mari, and or maybe one in the summer. We're going to be needing to get rid of a few. So if this is a deal, and he is 26, and you know he does turn out to be a brilliant player, and we've got Saliba, this could be the look of our defence. I know, obviously, that you're offering me a carrot, but maybe in a gambler's sense, yes, but... are we sure that we can get that pot of the gold?
Yeah, and do you know what worries me more? Again, I say this again, we need another right back. I mean, I'm not convinced that Ainsley Maitland-Niles, I mean, he's done well. I'm not convinced.
Well, he doesn't want to play there either,
yeah,
does he?
It's not his long-term position. And we've got Hector Bellerin, who has got his injury problems. We need another right back coming in. So I don't know where that's going to come. I don't know why we aren't being linked with more right backs. I can understand. I mean, again, the Kazawa stuff, left back, has just gone completely cold, hasn't it? Which probably, by the sounds of it, is a good thing because we've got the emergency.
Seemingly,
that
Arsenal were never really interested in with that. Again, we know that Dave's mentioned it. No one gets more clicks than Arsenal on transfer rumours. You know, agents maybe doing a little bit of talk. Apparently, there was no talk of it, no deal of it. And then I heard one report that's because we're waiting again to the summer to make a deal. And this is the problem. They've got targets that they know they can maybe get on a free in the summer. They're working on deals now. Very, very strange how it's all working. But that's what, to me, it seemed like they wanted Mari. A, must have been good if they want to sign him now and because of his price. So why wouldn't they do it now? It's just hit that late snag. And like the wait that Arsenal had with Arteta, we don't want this whole waiting time. We're either signing him or we're not. And I know, look, deals don't really work like that. It's not that simple. Oh, you want him like Football Manager. Oh, they've come back, they've rejected it, or it's been accepted. But there is this little bit of Arsenal that, I don't know, maybe... I was going to say we didn't have that in the past, but we didn't have social media, so we didn't really know as much. But yeah. Do you understand? It just feels like very difficult to get things over the line.
Yeah, but what Man United are feeling that at the moment with, is it Bruno Fernandes?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's taking place. So I think it's just January is a difficult time. And it's a difficult time. And the reason why is because so many clubs have got so much more money these days and they can hold out. Players are... And I think players are holding out as well because there's more and more players. You know, Wenger said this, what, 5-6 years ago? He said that you're going to start to see more and more players running
free
their
signings.
Contracts down, and that's happening. You look at the free transfer market in the summer. It's crazy. Some of the players that are running out of their contract or running their contracts down.
Well, let's quickly talk then about a player that did leave on a free. Aaron Ramsey went to Juventus. Sarri apparently at the minute, few reports, he can't get the best out of him. Doesn't know where to play him. Hello, lo and behold, Ramsey didn't play on the weekend. Juventus lost 1-0. Everyone's pulling their hair out because Juventus finally lost in Serie A, losing on the weekend. Ramsey, could we see the prodigal Welsh son
no
back, Chris?
Chance.
Or is that just me just hoping?
I think that's your hoping, mate.
Well, that's the end of that then.
Normally, if you think about it, normally you'd hear little ripples, wouldn't you?
Is the wave that I tried, but you just literally...
No, I just don't think... I think... It would actually. Do you know what?
I'd love him back.
If Juventus said he's not going to get in the team, so for the next 6 months, let's get him playing football.
Let's
get
him on
a loan. Get him on a loan.
This is the market.
Aaron Ramsey on loan.
Yeah, there you go. I told you, Holmes and Watson would get to the bottom of it. You thought Pablo Mari was joining? It's not. It's Aaron Ramsey. He's an Arsenal legend.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Arsenal Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. Joined in the studio with Chris Howard from Gunners Tan. We were talking everything from January transfer rumours. Who can we see joining the Gunners before the end of that window? Obviously, Chelsea Arsenal 2-2 last week. Arsenal brilliantly coming back to claim a point at Stamford Bridge. And obviously, they are in action tonight against Bournemouth. 8 o'clock kickoff there, so just 15 minutes until that game kicks off. Obviously, we're going to be talking a little bit of a preview from that game now. And obviously, Arsenal do now know their opponents. If they beat Bournemouth tonight, it will be Portsmouth away at Fratton Park in the fifth round if they come through Bournemouth. And obviously, Portsmouth unbeaten at home this year. So a stern test maybe awaits, even though they are in League One. Before we do a full preview, though, Chris, another man who's been linked is kind of the speculation special on this show, Thomas Lemar. He was linked with a move to Arsenal before, signed for Atletico, hasn't really worked out in Madrid. Cavani could be going there, then maybe Lemar coming here. It's another one that it's not getting bundles of attention, but it's bubbling under somewhat.
Yeah, so I've just handed you, obviously, my sheet. On that formation, let's just assume that's a formation that he's going for. Where does Thomas Lemar fit there? I mean, obviously, you can ignore the names because it's a rotated team for tonight's game in Bournemouth, but where does he fit there? Does he fit where Willock fits in that 10, and therefore is that the end of Mesut Ozil? If, I mean, we're projecting, we're speculating, of course. Do you think that's where it goes?
Well, this, when I first read the story, I have to admit, I thought, well, where are we going to play him? Because now we've kind of moved away from that. We wanted Lemar, we signed Pepe, you know, so where would Lemar play? To me, though, worryingly, it seems that not something's brewing or happening. And look, this is just me off my own back. Haven't heard anything, haven't read anything. I mean, I don't know I don't know anyone anyway. It's just hardly like I'm ITK. But what I would say is that it seems to me that maybe one of Lacazette and Aubameyang could be on their way if we get Lemar.
I think Aubameyang will go in the summer. I think that's
in
almost
the summer.
Because if you think about it, we've got in the summer, he's got a year left on his deal. He's going to be 31 years old. He's going to want a big move. We can still get decent money for him. He's got.
Would you take
proven it
then?
Pedro. If big money comes in, a 50, a 60 million quid for a 31-year-old, you'd probably have to say yes, because let's face it, at the moment, we're not going to get. It doesn't even look like we're getting European football at this rate unless we win the Europa League.
What does that get you now? I worry, because I don't know if you would have seen doing the rounds this week, and I know we always refer to social media now, but you know it does put you straight away in touch with a lot of fans. There was it going round, Chris, saying, would you be happy if Arsenal sold Lacazette if 40 million a bid come in? Surprisingly to me, the answer was yes. And I don't know if this, again, is recency bias because he's not scoring. Because for me, certainly last year and since Lacazette's been there, he's been one of my own personal favourites. And goal scorers, you know, you don't pick them up on street corners. Very, very difficult to find.
No, but that's where you have to rely on your scouting network. I mean, we've got Martinelli through the door. Maybe Martinelli then evolves into a centre forward. He said that he wants to play as a wide forward, so I'm not sure about that one. But I think you have to look at, you've almost got to look at what Dortmund have done with the Alfie Garland's boy. They're very good at this, getting that player just before he hits that stardom. So they don't pay nothing. You know, they pay sort of 15, 20 million quid for a player, but then they have him for a few years.
Before he's worth 80.
Yeah, exactly. And then they offload him. So they did that with Aubameyang. They did that with Lewandowski. And it looks like, I mean, the early signs are good.
Even Sancho now, who they brought over from the Premier League in City, could now be making a comeback and could be worth millions.
And that's where we have to be cleverer in the market. And that's where we've got to be looking at the next, you know, the next Anelka-esque type signing that is not going for mega. We're not going to get them. You know, if we're going to sell Aubameyang for 60 million pounds, sell Lacazette for 40 million pounds, you're right, that's a big gamble because you're taking a lot of goals out of the team. But we've got to look at that 20, 25 million pound young kid, 21, 22. It's got to be done properly, but it's putting a lot of eggs in a basket that is overly reliant. Having said that, what I will say is that we all thought that we were overly reliant with Robin van Persie when he was at the club, and when he left, I remember writing a blog about it and saying, we've signed Podolski, he's a finisher, we've signed Cazorla and we've signed Giroud, we don't need one person to get us 40 goals, we need those three players to get us 40 goals.
But what a miss he was, though, van Persie.
He was a big miss. But
regardless what you think about him now as fans and playing for Man United and the things he said, he was so integral to that team. We felt that massively.
I'm not sure we did, because that season that we had Podolski, Cazorla, that was when we only just missed out. We finished second in the league and we missed out, I think it was 2013, 2014, and we missed out to Leicester. All right. No, it was the season before that, sorry, that we signed them, because that was the season where we didn't sign any players other than Petr Cech. And I've got a mate who sees that as a turning point in our recent history, because we didn't take advantage of that league, but that league status. But I just have a feeling that we need, the problem is that we don't have goals from the rest of the team. If we had goals that we could see players from the rest of the team stepping up, that's fine. And that's why in the next 6 months, we probably need to see, or next 5 months between now and the end of the season, we need to see Pepe getting a few goals. We need to start seeing that Reece Nelson's got in.
But we have to wait because we're giving him a year. Remember, Pepe, we're not going to see the best of him until next year, Chris.
We'll see the best of Danny Ceballos next year around Madrid.
Yeah, and don't we just know it, obviously. Let's quickly talk then, because it is Bournemouth tonight. We're just 8 minutes away now from kickoff. How important is this game? You know, always the next game is the most important, Chris. But in the scheme of the season and the outlook and the way the season's gone and our history with the FA Cup, how important is tonight?
I think it's number two on the list in terms of, you've got to look at the Europa League as number one choice. And if you say Arsenal are only going to win, I don't know, 7 or 8 games between now and the end of the season, I'd say pick enough Europa League games so that we win it and, you know, pick up a trophy and get into the Champions League, because then the league table doesn't matter too much. I think, you know, we'll pick up enough wins to get to see us over the line. I'm not sure that, you know, we're going to be finishing 5th or 6th, to be honest with you, but
it's a crazy league though. Nothing would surprise me.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like the Championship normally is one of those leagues where if you win 4 games in a row, you shoot up the table. And that's what it's like here. There are something like 5 or 6 teams on 30 points we are. So
a week ago, we was worrying about Burnley being in a relegation battle, who Arsenal play next. Let's actually quickly talk about that. They had 4 successive defeats. Now they find themselves 13th from 30 points, and they're only 4 points, off 5th place Man United. And a week ago, they was in a relegation fight. They're 7 points away from relegation, 4 from 5th place. I mean, it's crazy.
We've been looking at teams like Man United and Chelsea and Tottenham each week and seeing them lose and having a little bit of schadenfreude and laughing. Mm. But actually, and I'll be honest with you, I've not even been looking at Burnley's results or Newcastle's results or anything like that. And all of a sudden, you're looking at thinking, they've got the same points as us.
Yeah, and worryingly,
it really just shows how bad.
And Aston Villa have more league wins than Arsenal this year, which is really quite something. 6 league wins for Arsenal in 24 games. Astounding. When would you ever say that, coming towards the end of January, start of February? But it's no Premier League game tonight. It is Bournemouth. Second on Chris's priorities. Chris, how will it play out tonight, and what is your score prediction?
I'm hoping that we're going to definitely get some different goal scorers, because we've got, we've got Nketiah up front. I say that, but Martinelli's got our last in our last couple of games, so I fancy he might. I think he's on a streak, to be honest with you. I fancy he might get one tonight. I'm hoping that we'll win because that Bournemouth have rotated, but we need to dominate the ball. We need to take advantage of our chances, and that's what we didn't do against Bournemouth away. And I'm hoping that we'll scrape it. That's what I'm hoping.
Scrape it, obviously. And just because this is a weird link, but I never actually answered your journeyman question.
Yeah, go on.
I think for a journeyman, it depends on A, how many clubs you've played for, but B, your age, and C, then the trifactor in this, the weird scientific link, is what you've done at those clubs. Because when you look at certain clubs and you go, who are the key faces there, and you'd go, the Aubameyangs, the Lacazettes, it's the ones that you wouldn't really mention, whereas that, yeah, they played a part in that team, but you know, maybe no one really speaks about it. That is a journeyman for me. How many clubs you've played for, what you've done at those clubs, and at your age. And maybe, unfortunately, looking at my equation, a lot of clubs at 26 for Pablo Mari, but he's not a journeyman, he's a wonder man, Chris. That's what I'm going with. Is that fair to say for a journeyman, though?
Yeah, how would you equate it? I think I've got some numbers. I would say you've got to be north of 30. You've probably got to have played more than 5 or 6 clubs. And actually, when you think about players and the lifespans and how they move around, particularly loans and stuff like that, you could get a player that plays for 5 or 6 clubs by the time they're 26. So, I don't know. Maybe it should be revising. But I always think of the likes of, you know, the Steve Claridges of this world as the journeyman pro. Or Glenn Murray, does he count as one? Is he journeyman?
Yeah,
he's been to a few
tough
clubs. Bobby Zamora, he was probably one as well.
Yeah, but it's hard. Good players, it's difficult. I think if you haven't had an impact at those clubs as well, I feel that, you know, he's like, he was here. Where is he now? When you're not quite sure where they are now, and you're like, he's playing for them, he's playing for so-and-so, and you're like, he's had 5 clubs since then. That was only 6 months ago. And it is Burnley on the weekend. Very quickly, Chris, hard to tell because obviously we don't know what's going to happen tonight with Bournemouth, but an interesting stat, Sean Dyche has played 29 Premier League clubs as Burnley manager. He's beat 27. 2 of the teams he hasn't beat, Arsenal and Sheffield United. So hopefully that will continue on the weekend. You like that one?
Fingers crossed. Yeah, I do like that one. That's a good stat, mate. That's a good stat to bring us home.
That's what Sherlock Holmes and Watson do. Stay on it. But your Burnley prediction, Chris, is?
2-2.
Well, it would still be unbeaten. Sean Dyche can't beat Arsenal.
We're the draw masters. I mean, we've got, 12, 13? So.
Yeah. A draw maybe awaits on the weekend at Turf Moor. Burnley heavily rotated their team from the FA Cup, exiting to Norwich. But who knows? Arsenal win tonight. They take that form into Turf Moor. But either way, me and Chris will be here next Monday at the same time, 7 to 8, on the Arsenal Fan Show on Love Sport Radio.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.